Now it is. Okay. Just a personal word. I was at the wedding yesterday at the marina. You know, it's the largest fishing fleet is stationed there on the west coast of Florida. And it was hot. And the wedding was hot. And everyone was hot. But if you ever get a chance to go between about 4:30 and 5:30 to that marina, there are some great fish they put up on the dock. And I have more photos of the grouper and snapper and not so many wedding photos, but a lot of fish photos. And I'm going to go back, I think, a couple times this week. It was just really super to see all those fish. God's good gift to us, fish. We're continuing in a series today on prayer. This is the third sermon in the series, Praying God's Will. It's a series that I'm taking selected readings from the Lord's Prayer and around the Lord's Prayer, as you'll see in the first reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. In this section from Matthew 6, it's a section that's normally one you rarely hear read in public on a Sunday, but it's a good reading. It tells us how not to pray. And so then I'll read a second passage that I'll introduce in a moment. But first from Matthew 6, verse 5, "And whenever you pray," says Jesus, "do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners so that they might be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." And then, of course, after these verses, beginning in verse 9, you get Jesus giving the instructions about what we now call the Lord's Prayer, the prayer of our Lord. The second scripture reading is from the letter to the Romans in chapter 8, just two verses. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Let's pray as we come to the message. Oh, Father, open our hearts and minds now by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that the scriptures which have been read and your word which is now proclaimed, may we hear with joy what you say to us today. In Christ's name, amen. Notice before Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he taught them how not to pray. How very interesting we have these instructions from Jesus, how not to pray. For example, Jesus said, don't pray to the audience. Don't pray, in other words, just to be seen by others or to pretend that you are holy or to show off. Don't do that. Perhaps that's why we have some anxiety at times about praying in public restaurants. I know I do. Or perhaps when we hear someone else pray loudly at a restaurant, perhaps this passage goes through our mind. We really shouldn't question, however, the integrity of those who say grace at Jason's Deli or even at Chick-fil-A. But sometimes you do wonder if praying so conspicuously in a crowd is just simply letting your light shine, or is it posturing to others? Which one is it? Jesus goes further, however. Notice in this passage, he says, if you sense you are putting on a show, then go to your closet to pray. And your Father, he says, will reward you in secret with something else. And I would imagine, namely, that's the presence of God that we're rewarded with, because we're more aware of it many times when we're alone and in secret with God, in God's presence. Years ago, Bill Moyers, he worked at the White House. He was press secretary when he was 26 years of age for President Lyndon Johnson during the 60s. And one time, Bill Moyers tells the story that he was praying. Oftentimes, President Johnson would have him pray before a meeting or before a meal. And Moyers tells the story that one time the president interrupted him during the prayer and said, "Bill, louder, I can't hear you." And Moyers replied, "With all due respect, Mr. President, I wasn't praying to you." Jesus went on to say, there's also no value whatsoever in prayer when you just offer many words or empty phrases. The Quaker Elton Trueblood, for example, he wrote about our use of the Lord's Prayer every Sunday in worship. He cautioned us in his writings that such frequent use runs the danger of us chanting thoughtless words over and over. And of course, Quaker worship is the opposite of our worship because it's all about silence. After all, said Trueblood, Jesus didn't say, pray these words over and over every time you have a worship service. Jesus, instead, he said, pray like this. The Lord's Prayer is really a model prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. It brings all of the past, present, and future to God in the presence of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Forgive us our debts, the past. Give us our daily bread. Help us with our present need. Your will be done in the future. The past, present, and future. It's a beautiful model prayer. And whether you agree with Elton Trueblood or not, we ought to think through every phrase of the Lord's Prayer because it is that model prayer and it teaches us if we listen to it very carefully so we don't just heap up empty phrases. Jesus then goes on, before teaching us the prayer of our Lord here in these verses, he goes on to give us yet another challenge. He says in so many words, don't waste time in prayer by just offering God data. In other words, too much information. Think about that for a moment. Do we just offer too many words sometimes in our prayers? And I suspect in this passage, because Jesus mentions when you go in the synagogues, don't offer up too many words or empty phrases, that he's speaking to clergy types. Like, for example, this sample prayer. Just listen. Here's a heads up, O Lord. It's Sunday, June 16th, if you didn't know. It's the 16th of June. And we are here in worship on State Road 580. We've been here 41 years, as you know. And we're next to Landmark Drive. And today is Father's Day, Lord, and it's also Trinity Sunday. And we're coming together to consider how to pray your will. Amen. Well, that's a terrible prayer. I almost in that prayer said we're at State Road 580, 33761, just so that the communication wouldn't be lost in heaven. Some public prayers can be that bad. Someone I know said, and I've heard this often, you've heard it often, what's the value in praying at all? Because we learn in this passage from Matthew that God knows what we are thinking and what we are wanting before we pray it. So why bother? Right? Hold on to that for a minute. We'll come back to it. Let's go further. Prayer serves no purpose and is of little value when it is used like magic. Only like that genie in the movie Aladdin's Lamp. You may have heard of the young boy. He was taking a geography test and he had forgotten the capital of Florida. And so he prayed that Kenneth City might be the capital of Florida. I don't think God would ever answer that prayer. Sometimes we treat God as if God were indeed a genie in a bottle who could be called out to do our bidding when we need it. And sometimes our prayers are like SOS signals. And so that you know, I'll be honest, I pray those kind of prayers as well. I prayed several of those prayers this week. Not for just members here, but for my younger brother Danny, who's 48 years of age. He ended up in septic shock, was taken in the hospital. He had this blood infection from an abscess, and his organs were shutting down. They had to ventilate him. He's still on a ventilator, but his statistics, his vitals are much, much better. He doesn't remember where he was for the last 3 days because he tried to bite everybody, but he's now better. He still has the ventilator, and hopefully he'll be taken out in a few days. But it's often that we have these SOS type of prayers. I have a phrase, I think I'm going to put it on the church sign this week, and it goes like this: is your faith in God a steering wheel, or is it a spare tire? Think about that as you come to prayer. What is your faith more like, a steering wheel or a spare tire? I remember visiting a man in the hospital not long ago, and at the end of the visit, I said, "Would you like a prayer before I leave, and he looked worried in his face, and he said, "Is it that bad?" I said, "No, I just pray when I leave. It's not that bad." But it's like in Shakespeare's play, The Tempest. There is a scene where there is a storm at sea. I love stories about ships and sea and fishing. And these wave-tossed, panicked sailors, what they say in that play, The Tempest, they say, all is lost to prayers. Oftentimes we pray when things are just bad. All is lost. What if God is for more than just our emergencies? I want to encourage you as we go through this series on prayer to think about that, to come to God with your prayers of thanksgiving. We thank you for the good gifts of life, oh God, for its mystery and its friendships and fellowships and for the ties that bind us together. Thank you so much, oh God, for all you've given me. Not just things that are bad or SOS prayers. Well, let me mention another bad dilemma. The worst dilemma of all of them about prayers, not just empty phrases and many phrases and praying in public to be holy or to get attention, but the worst dilemma of all about prayer is oftentimes it seems prayer does not work. How many times have you thought that? And sometimes that's a negative because it stops us from praying further. I've noticed perhaps you have a lot of religious pamphlets that are at the grocery store near the magazines or the greeting cards. Many times now you see them at the cash register, and some of them, I made a note, they were labeled things like this: prayer changes things, prayer provides healing, or the power of prayer. Those are actual titles to some of that I've seen, these little books. And there are many times when those promises are answered, when prayer does change things, when prayer does heal, when prayer is powerful. And I pray you will always pray because all of those are true many times. But again, what about unanswered prayer? When you ask for some good release from something, or healing for someone that you know and love, or some resolution to a conflict, and it seems to not come, doesn't that finish your efforts in prayer? What's the point? Ah, but you say, "Preacher, you've gone and done it now, because you're supposed to come and give us a positive word. We need hope, not doubt." And so that you don't think this morning my message is negative, on the contrary, I come to say to you this morning, stay with it with prayer. Be patient with prayer. Be daring in your prayer. Be bold in your prayer. Do not worry about your words. Just pray with sincerity. And why do I say this? For several reasons. First, because the point and purpose of prayer is a personal conversation with God. It's a relationship with God, your eternal Father, the creator of all things. And when you pray, you are in the presence of the eternal. You posture yourselves to be in God's presence. Perhaps that's why Jesus says, don't pray so much in public, but go into your closet and pray. And when you do that, you'll find you're alone. And with whom? With your Creator, with your God, with your eternal Father. And you can feel God's presence. Prayer is so crucial. It is a meeting, and it is being open to the eternal one. The evangelist Dwight L. Moody, he once told the story of when his son interrupted his sermon writing, and he said to his son, "What do you want?" And he said, "Daddy," he said, "I just want to be here with you in your presence." How it must warm the heart of God, the God who bids us to pray, who teaches us to pray in Jesus Christ, to be in His presence. Here I am, O Lord. Hear my prayers. Keep on praying, because if all else fails, you will still be there where Jesus loved to be and where He often went to be, to pray, to be in what the Bible refers to as the secret place of the Most High. Find a closet. Secondly, keep on praying. Keep on praying until you reach the perfect prayer. And the perfect prayer is indeed the prayer of submission. But the prayer of submission is not resignation. I'm done with everything else. I resign. It's all up to you. It's not that negative. Not at all. It's your will be done, O God. I have been prideful. I have tried to do things my way. But now I'm trusting in you with all of my energy. I continue to do things, and I pray it's all in your will. Your will be done, because I have learned that your way is the best way. And the plainest way I can say it is this. If God, you say, is your co-pilot, there may be times when you need to move over because you may be in the wrong seat. And that's not resignation. It's recognition of who's in control. Third, keep on praying until you are changed. Until you are changed. Prayer sometimes doesn't change things, I have found, but oftentimes I have found it changes me and my perception of things. And when you do that, you will often find yourself refreshed, renewed, strengthened, and of course, connected to God's presence. I have confirmation of this just in the last couple of months. I talked to someone who was the caregiver for someone else who said to me, "I did not think I could continue. It's become so difficult every day. And then I stop sometimes and I pray and I find I'm given enough strength for another day." Finally, keep praying boldly, because our prayers, and I love this one, our prayers are corrected. They're corrected in heaven. Goodness knows we often pray selfishly. We often send out SOSs as if God is a genie in the bottle. We pray in our weaknesses. We pray poorly. Sometimes we're too wordy. Sometimes we whine. Sometimes we rage. And we pray prayers sometimes even when we are not in them. Can you give us a prayer, preacher? But I believe God wants to hear from us. But I also believe that God doesn't intrude in our lives. In other words, our Father doesn't read His children's mail by snooping. He waits for our honest word to Him. And most importantly, even when our prayers are unworthy or too wordy, the Bible reminds us that they get heard in the right way because the Spirit of God corrects them for us. Have you ever heard that? The Spirit of God corrects your prayers when you pray poorly or selfishly. It says so in the letter of Romans in the passage that I read. The Spirit helps us, for we do not know how to pray. The Spirit of God who intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. So just go to God in silence. The Spirit will help. That's worth remembering, especially when you feel your prayers are unanswered. Tony Campolo, I've met with Tony several times. I've had lunch with him at conferences. He's quite a character. Bald-headed, looks like Alfred Hitchcock, quite a personality. He's a raging Christian lunatic. I encourage you to read everything he writes. But he has this bombastic way that he speaks, and he says that God corrects our prayers when our prayers are wrong. And then he says it this way, "But no sweat," says Campolo, "no sweat. When you finish praying, the Holy Spirit prays the prayer that we should have prayed and would have prayed if we only were more spiritually mature. It is though at the end of my prayer, the Holy Spirit turns to the Father and says, 'Father, you know that was a stupid prayer that Tony prayed. But this is what he meant to pray.' And then the Spirit prays it correctly. And so I say to you this morning, pray boldly. Pray often. Pray in public. Pray in private. Pray with a prayer partner. Contact the prayer chain, but pray. Because God draws near to us when we pray in every need and sorrow, and God's presence is available every day and even now. And so let's close by praying. Oh, Father God, you are our Heavenly Father, and you are always closer than we dare to stop to imagine or think possible. Remind us, O Lord, that you have done marvelous things in our lives, and when we realize that, send us out to sing a new song and to pray new prayers. For you are ready to listen to all of it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.